Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamateur Hour. I'm Bamateur John. In this episode, we will preview the Alabama game versus South Carolina as Bama takes a road trip to Columbia, South Carolina to play South Carolina. We'll also take a last look at the Alabama win over Tennessee, 37-20, and as we provide final thoughts on that game. Bama's on a 7-game winning streak. They're on a 6-game winning streak, and we need this to continue as we go to Columbia and get win number 7 and take care of business. No road trip blues. Bama needs to show up, show out, get the win over South Carolina if Bama wants to go to the playoffs and wants to go to Atlanta for the SEC championship. We're also going to look at take one final look at the Tennessee game, which was quite a roller coaster ride, and it worked out in our favor. Today is Tuesday, October 21st, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 5,400 subscribers to the YouTube channel and growing. We're headed to 10,000. Come on, guys.
Let's go,
subscribe,
baby.
Like, notify. And if you're accessing us through audio on the podcast, various podcast outlets of iHeart, Spotify, RSS, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, and the like, please like, subscribe, and follow us. Okay, guys, where are we now heading into South Carolina? We got G-Money. We got T-Pain. All right, G-Money, give me some thoughts. Where are we now?
I think we're in a good spot. We came off a big home win against Tennessee. We've almost formed a habit of beating Tennessee at home, which is a nice habit to form. We've gotten the road win monkey off our back with 2 big wins on the road at Georgia and at Missouri. We're favored. Everything's looking good, which is sometimes the recipe for a trap game. So I'm a little concerned, but we can talk about that.
T-Pain.
Yeah, like Gary said, I'm very pleased where we are, especially how we started the season, game one. What a turnaround. I mean, man, we were – calling for coaches to be fired. Some people were asking for lottery money to pay off the coach. I mean, it was pretty bad. And here we are, man, number 4 in the country. And by all metrics, I mean, we're favored to go to Atlanta and favored to go to the playoffs. So I like where we are. I like what we have left. I like what we've done the last 4 weeks. I think we're the only SEC team ever to beat 4 ranked opponents in a row. Let's go.
With no break. We had no bye weeks.
No
just
bye
boom,
week.
Boom, boom.
Right. And yeah, you're right, Gary. Now we play a team that's unranked and on the road. Can we keep it going? And we'll talk about it.
Guys, this is 2025, not 2024. This is a new team. This is a resilient team. This is a battle-tested team. We're ready. I don't think Ty's going to let these guys lose their focus. I don't think Grubb's going to let them lose their focus. DeBoer is not going to let them lose their focus.
DeBoer. Hey, that's been a big hit, I've heard.
We're in control of our own destiny, but we need to get this win to maintain control of that destiny. We don't want to challenge that margin for error. We do not need a repeat of going to Vanderbilt last year. We do not need a repeat of what happened at Oklahoma. I love where we are. We got to make it happen. We're one of the hottest teams in the nation. We've got probably the best strength of schedule of any team out there. We've got the best wins. You look at those three teams ahead of us, they haven't beaten the quality of opponents that we have. I understand they're undefeated. I understand why they are where they are. But, guys, ever since that FSU debacle, we're on a roll. And I like the trajectory of where we're going. And we still haven't played our A game, I don't think. Other than Louisiana Monroe, we haven't played our A game, and we keep winning. Love it, love it, love it. Let's talk about Ty Simpson as a legitimate Heisman candidate and one of the top three candidates. All right, thoughts on Ty, where we are, how he's leading this team. Give me some thoughts.
I would say start practicing your speech. Just kidding. Don't do that. don't do that. Just keep playing your game. I read a quote by him. Like he said, prepare like something and then play like something. Play like you're never going to lose and prepare like you're never going to win or something like that. It was a catchy phrase. But his work ethic, you know, hearing what kind of ear to the ground, his work ethic's incredible. His attitude's incredible. He's just playing at a high level. And again, we've talked about it before. It reminds me a little bit of Mac Jones, Sarkisian in 2020 when we're clicking because we have that great combination of an OC who, like, if you look at Ryan Grubb's scheme, it's like, who would your ideal quarterback be? Ty Simpson. You've got your ideal quarterback. Ty Simpson, who would be your ideal offensive coordinator? Ryan Grubb would have to be in the top of that list. So things are clicking right now. Expect them to keep clicking. Ty, just keep doing your thing, man. We'll see you in New York.
Ty, you are our guy, and you're going to win the Heisman. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Okay, T-Pain, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Ty is – it's a match made in heaven, Ty and Ryan Grubb. I think Ryan trusts Ty a whole lot, and I think he's given him more keys or more, you know, access to the playbook every week and a little more control. I heard someone on the radio today say that the chemistry, when they go to practice and they go, you know, to practices and on the sideline of games, they feel like the chemistry on this team is really good and really meshing, unlike a lot of other teams in the past. But also like a lot of the teams that have had success in the past. So I think this team has great chemistry in large part due to Ty. I think Ty is a big part of that, the way he leads the team on the sideline, even talking to the defense. And that bleeds over to the field. You can see Ty feels, like I said earlier, feels really comfortable, especially when you have all these playmakers, you know? I mean, man. So as we see every week, there's like seven or eight guys catching passes. So I think the way this offense is designed, when you have a quarterback like Ty, I think it's really likely he'll be in Atlanta. I mean, sorry, Atlanta, New York.
He's going to be in too. Atlanta too. So
Atlanta too. New York, yeah. Atlanta, then New York, with a few other guys. So hopefully he'll be there and maybe he can bring it home.
Guys, think about this. Think about how many weapons Ty has. We've got multiple running backs. We've got a great receiving core, great tight ends. Who's the one guy that's at the center of it all? That's Ty. I mean, Ryan Williams has been hurt. He's had subpar games. Now, he showed out against Tennessee. He was catching everything against Tennessee. I love it. But, I mean, we've had games where he hasn't showed out. Look at Lotz Brooks showing up and having great games. Rico Scott, Zay Horton. Jeremy Bernard's been our most consistent receiver, for sure. But he's had games where he hasn't been our leading receiver. And in the running backs, you've had Jam Miller hurt out. You've had Daniel Hill all of a sudden have a really strong finish to the Tennessee game. You had Kevin Riley show up and give us some good plays. Ty's been the consistency. We don't have a great running game, but we're so effective offensively because of Ty and his ability to spread the ball around and us to use the short passing game and the reverses and all of that in lieu of a grounded pound game. It's amazing that he's just stepped out and done it.
Well, you asked who's at the center of it all. We have to look for excuses to inject the name look, our defense is rocking too. So, I mean, yes, Ty's at the center of our offensive production. Our defense is looking very good at times. We've had some lapses for sure. I just wanted to say, Dunbar.
Dunbar. He is the greatest coach in the world. Dunbar, Dunbar, Dunbar. Dunbar, Dunbar. Dunbar, Dunbar. Okay, I'm back.
He's at it. He's on it. Like
Gary,
it.
Gary, you unleashed him.
I triggered him in a good
triggered
way.
Him. But no, John, yes, I mean, it's amazing. We have five weapons on the field at one time, oftentimes. And that's, and then Ty can also run, not too shabby.
Right. He is a dual threat quarterback.
He just doesn't have to do it very often. It's amazing. But yeah, I mean, we're in a good spot. And the defense continues to make small strides. Yeah, our best game is out there still.
The chunk plays on the defense. If you look at FSU, we gave up way too many chunk plays. There were like seven or eight that just killed us. We seem to be shrinking it.
Yes.
I looked at Tennessee. There are probably three big chunk plays that really hurt us, which is great to go from like eight to three. If we can just tighten that a little bit more, and also the chunk plays, Gary, I think you mentioned, let's limit them to under 30, not 44-yard touchdowns, and just bring
that down.
Well, we
said two things in the preview episode. We said less than five chunk plays, which I think we accomplished, and around 25 to 30 max. I will say, picking up on something T-Pain said, we do have the playmakers. And we can talk about this later, but we had some playmakers in 2010, Mark Ingram, Julio Jones, Greg McElroy. We were on a 19-game win streak. We went up to South Carolina and got beat. So that's, we have a little history there that makes me a little bit nervous. Now, they don't have Alshon Jeffrey. They don't have Marcus Lattimore. They don't have Steven Garcia. So those are apples and oranges, but still, right, that's a tough place to play. I'm afraid, I don't think our guys will necessarily overlook this opponent, but there's a little risk of that because we're feeling so good with this momentum. It just feels like a little bit of a trap game. We called Tennessee to cover the spread and have a big game. All those things happen. This Saturday, I think we may face some adversity.
What is the spread this weekend?
Start at 13.5, it's down to 11.5. So I think there's some, some people understanding
right,
that history and understanding the nature of a trap game. And it's a tough place to play. I mean, it is. It hasn't been necessarily this year. If you're looking at their record, they did beat Kentucky, but I mean, they've lost some games at home too. But I don't know. I'm being a little more conservative with my expectations this week than the past few weeks.
I totally think you're right, Gary. I think this is a trap game. This is the classic. We're riding high. We're doing well. And I do not want to see a repeat of Vanderbilt last year or a repeat of Oklahoma. And I guarantee you, Mike Shula's back's against the wall. He is getting tremendous flack because Dow Loggins left and he took a head coaching job. And he did a great job with their offense last year. And that game they had here, boy, that was nip and tuck. That was a nail biter. We escaped and we're lucky to get that win. But Shula's getting a lot of grief because their offense is not good. They've been very ineffective. They have had injuries to some key players. Lenore Sellers got knocked out of the Vanderbilt game. I think Malik, is it Harbor? Nick Harbor, he's been injured. Their top running back hasn't been that effective. But I'll tell you what, guys, if I'm Mike Shula, I'm looking at that Vanderbilt game, both Vanderbilt games. I'm looking at the Oklahoma game last year. And you've got a quarterback that's as good as anybody in the nation in terms of athleticism and ability to throw the ball all over the yard. Now, is he the most accurate? Does he have the decision-making of a Ty Simpson? Maybe not, but he's as athletic as anybody out there, and I'm going to use him like they use Diego. I'm going to use him like Jackson Arnold, and I'm going to try to grind the game down and do that if I'm Mike Shula. I hope Mike Shula's not listening to this podcast. Mike, keep doing what you're doing. Don't go do that.
I got two comments on that. Mike Shula, thank goodness Tim Tebow went to Florida, right? I mean, I hate to say that, but if he came here, we would have had Shula for probably a couple more years. I will say this, just I feel like I'm like the Milrow defender in the room or whatever, but South Carolina last year, we laid an egg. We pulled out the win, but we did not play well at all. And of course, great point, John. They had a different offensive coordinator then, but Milroe had a 7-yard rushing touchdown and hit Jeremy for a 33-yard touchdown. Both of those were in the fourth quarter when South Carolina was here. They're just one of those teams that, you can pick out a year, a game here or there where we've kind of beat them up, but it's tough to play them. I don't know why. They've got good athletes. They've done a good job recruiting, and they've had a really disappointing year this year, 1-4 in the SEC. And it's almost like, when you're playing a proud program that's a little desperate, they're a little dangerous.
Yeah, caged animal effect. I really do. I think that's what we're walking into, and I think we're going to get their best shot. And guys, I'll say it, any road win is a great road win. I'll take a 1-point victory. I want to get out of there. I want to keep this winning streak alive. I want to be 5-0 in the SEC. But I mean, we got to show that. And we've proven to be a really resilient team. We've proven to keep fighting. And Ty has been, he is so mistake-free in terms of his football. He makes very few bad decisions, and let's hope he can keep that and keep guys focused, keep the penalties down, not turn the ball over. But I think it's going to be a tough game.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Oh, I agree with you. I think it is a big trap game, and they want to get us. They'll be tearing the, let's face it, they're going to tear the goalpost down if they beat us. There's no doubt.
Oh yeah.
So
Yeah, I like this thing, this kind of angle. I like that we have a bye week the week after, correct? So
yes.
I think the coaches are telling the players, hey guys, give me one more week of your attention, just one more week, and you have a week off. So I think that helps. I also like the fact that South Carolina doesn't have a bye week before us. I mean, they had to play LSU and then also Oklahoma. So it's not like these coaches have been planning for this game for weeks or anything. So I just think we're going to come into this game prepared, good leadership, good chemistry. Ty is the centerpiece of that. And DeBoer, I like
DeBoer.
us. I like us to
DeBoer.
DeBoer. I like us to be focused, take care of business.
Well, Pavia kind of sent them a little bit on a death spiral. They beat Virginia Tech, and then when they lost big to Vandy, they still played some close games. Like they played at Missouri and lost by single digits.
Yeah,
Missouri's a pretty good team.
they had a lead going into the fourth quarter
Yeah.
too in that Missouri game. Yeah.
They sure did. So what I'm saying is, we can look at their record and look at the 1-4 in the SEC and go, no big deal. They've got some players, and like you're saying, John, they're kind of desperate. I think it's a dangerous game.
We got to be ready. We got to get in there and do it. Oh, by the way, they're going to look at that FSU tape as well. So we better be prepared for all of those tricks with Sellers. He's the key. That's what Vanderbilt did. They corralled him to a certain degree, and then they knocked him out of the game. I'm not saying purposely injure him, but I mean he's the key. And if he's struggling, we've just got to contain him. And then Nick Harbor. They don't have a lot of wide receivers, so I'm not worried about that. But we just got to be very sound. Okay, you're not Brent Venables. Okay, remember that. You're not Kane. You're not Brent Venables. Sound defense. If you're going to blitz, don't bring the house. Just bring one extra guy. You're going to need a spy for Sellers. Because if I'm them, I'm going to run Sellers like crazy. I'm going to do all sorts of tricks like that and say, okay, show us you've learned your lessons on how to do that. That's what I would do. That's their best chance, in my opinion, is to just use Sellers for all sorts of craziness.
Well, I hate to say use 2010 as a template, but Greg McElroy was sacked, I believe, 7 times. when we lost up there in 2010. And they've got some players on defense. Dylan Stewart, he's listed as linebacker. He's really an edge rusher. He's a really, really solid defender, fast twitch, kind of like we're talking about Yanze. I wouldn't put him at that level, but he's maybe one step down from Yanze. And Brian Thomas Jr. is a really good player. So if they put pressure on Ty and get him moving, you know, we talked about during the post game in Tennessee how they had on one drive two batted down passes, and then that fumble where are people watching the tape, defensive coordinators watching the tape on time going, hey, he can elude you, so don't break down when you get close to him and start throwing those mitts up. I don't know. I don't think, you know, for Tennessee, I said, oh, Ty'll have 400 yards passing, which he didn't, but I thought he had a good game. This one, I think he's going to be under pressure and challenged and have to show us what he can do.
And South Carolina, to your point, does have a good defense. Their defense is strong. It's their offense that's been struggling. But, you know, we've faced other good defenses. I think we can avoid the penalty. And that's going to be tough because it's going to be a loud crowd. It's going to be raucous. But we handled it at Missouri. We handled it at Georgia. I don't think the atmosphere gets any bigger than what we had to face in Athens. We can do this thing. But yeah, it's going to be good versus good in terms of our good offense against their strength, which is their defense. And then it's going to be their, you know, call it their weakness versus, I would say our defense is weaker than our offense. But our passing defense is really strong. We've just got to be able to contain Sellers and not let him just gash us and be prepared for that.
So, hey, another thing on why I like this game for us, the matchup, is because we're the best offense they've seen. Okay. Don't you think we're the best offense they've seen? And as far as defense goes, their offense, as you pointed out on your notes, they're averaging 20 points a game against FBS opponents. Against SEC opponents, they're averaging 15 points a game in their SEC games. So, and if you're only going to score 15 to 20 points, that's going to be a long day for you because I think we're going to score in the 30s.
Well, I will say this, they have faced some good offenses. Vandy, Missouri,
Missouri.
Oklahoma with Mateer. That they've faced some really good offenses and have held them like they held, let's see. Well, Missouri scored 29 on them, Vandy scored 31. So you may be right, Rick, when it gets down to it, this may be a 28 or 31 to 15 to 17 to 18 kind of game. But I mean, that would be a covering the spread great win.
Right.
I think unless Sellers goes wild and we just do stupid things to let him just gash us, I don't think they can score 20 points. I just
Yeah.
don't. I think their offensive line's not that great. Shula as an OC, I'm not convinced.
That's
I'm sorry. I know he's a Bama. He would be a Bamature at heart, right? He's a Bama guy. So,
Yeah.
but. You know, I just don't think they have the horses on offense this year, and I'm not sure they got the. They don't have someone comparable to Grubb, and we'll talk about that later. But they just don't have it on offense. So we just got to come out and a B plus game or better, and we've got this thing. If we start mucking around and playing a B minus C plus game, we could be in trouble. So guys, got to be focused, got to be ready to go. But injury wise, we're in good shape.
Well,
I
you got to
think.
allow for the possibility of turnovers and I don't want to call them fluke plays, but hopefully you guys are with me. Have y'all watched the Xavier Brown play like 50 times this week?
Love
Like
it. Love it.
it's almost it's not like the second
Love it.
26 in the national
Hey,
championship game that
go to
I'm
the Bamature Hour Facebook
like
page. We got it posted there, baby.
very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying if we have a turnover in the wrong part of the field, I don't think their offense can score 21 points on us, but can the team possibly score 21 on us if you include maybe a flute play here and there? It's possible.
Yep. We got to avoid those shoot yourself in the foot because. Let's face it, Tennessee game, 14-point swing right there. Get that pick six, And then Xavien's able to break that shoestring tackle, because think about that. The clock was done. Had he gotten tackled there, instead of that being an extra 7 force going in the half, it would have just kept them from putting that on the board. So, but then again, our defense has been opportunistic the last 3 or 4 games. So hopefully we can force Sellers into some making some bad decisions and get some turnovers and put it on them like that. So I don't like what we've given up in chunk plays, but I do like that we've been forcing turnovers the last 3 games, which has been great.
Well, and Womack deserves a lot of credit. I mean, he got excoriated after the FSU game, and you know, our offense
rightfully so.
Rightfully so, and our defense has really turned it around. Now, we can still point to a handful of plays, like you're saying, chunk plays or missed assignment on offensive line where, you know, a guy's running free to get a sack. Those kind of things, it would be nice to eliminate those or at least reduce them. But overall, I mean, our ranking of our total defense in terms of yards and scoring, we're up there. I mean, we're up there, and Womack deserves some credit for that.
Go, Kane.
Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, I think Gary, you mentioned barring weird plays or fluke plays or turnovers, we beat them pretty good, I think. And also, I think Ty is getting better and better and better. However, against Tennessee, I saw one little crack where he was rolling out to his right, and he threw that real quick to Quavis.
Yes.
And right there in front of him was like,
John's
got harder. Yeah. You know, remember that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, he looked like another quarterback doing that.
Yeah. That's the only time I've seen him do anything that I thought, oh, that was dumb. So he's about 99% on fire. But
he's trying to get the Heisman highlight of that tiny little, you know, window.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and McElroy pointed that out. He's like, he didn't need to force that in there. You know, just throw it away. Or if he had seen Germ just right there, he could have hit him. He was wide open.
And DeBoer was not happy. Excuse me. DeBoer. DeBoer.
And Ty took his medicine. He did. He needed to take his medicine, and he did. And I'm glad he did. By the way, guys, I was listening to Mel Kiper today, and he's got Ty is the 3rd highest ranked quarterback in the draft now. He's got him as the number 15 pick in the draft. He's the 15th best ranked player. So he's the number 3 quarterback. Top 15 on Mel's, what he calls his big board. So, and he said the one thing that Ty's got to learn how to do is throw the ball away. Sometimes you just have to throw it away. He goes, he's very aggressive. He's always trying to make a play. He never gives up. But what he's going to have to learn is sometimes you have to throw the ball away. And he's right about that. But
well,
he goes,
and also, I was just going to say, he's also got a blind spot. We talked about it after the Tennessee game. He's not a big vertical threat. And he doesn't need to be in the system we've got. But you know, you're going to have to move the ball downfield with shot plays at some point to be a, you know, starting NFL quarterback. And, you know, his arm is what it is. His accuracy is elite in medium range and inside. But, you know, that's one thing I would love to see. If we can get an over, we got over the top kind of receivers. I mean, Isaiah can blow the top off. Ryan's elite. If we can deliver that ball, it would be tough to stop us. It'd be tough for anybody to stop us if we added that element.
I think he's going to have to release it quicker. I think that's one thing, Gary. He's going to have to anticipate and let it go a little bit sooner and throw them open on those deep balls. I think that's his biggest thing. Because, no, he's not going to throw it 70 yards.
Yeah, I just can't tell how much of it is the offense doesn't call for that, or he just chooses not to do that. You know, throw it long.
Well, like we were talking about in the Tennessee game, he overthrew Ryan really bad. He underthrew, I believe it was Brooks, who got a PI call, you know, trying to get back to the ball or whatever. But I just compare that. And then I was watching some NFL highlights, and I don't know if y'all saw Jalen Hurts' like 70-yard touchdown throw on Sunday. I mean, it's just like the NFL guys, with almost without exception, they can just chunk the ball. And I haven't seen that from Ty yet, but again, we haven't needed to do it, but.
Yeah, no, Hurts is a lead at the deep ball, throwing that deep ball to A.J. and Devontae. Now, I will say this, Ty is better and more accurate than Hurts on the short and intermediate passes. And you can see, and I don't know if you guys know who Greg Cosell is. He's the big NFL film room guy. Oh. And he goes through it, and he goes through all the quarterbacks, and he says Hurts will miss his reads. He will, there'll be a guy open and he won't throw the ball. He's not that accurate on the short and intermediate, and yet he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So Ty is better at those short and intermediate passes than Hurts is. So that's why he's risen up, but he's surprised so many people. And this is a credit to Ty. Ty sat for 3 years and kept his mouth shut and didn't complain and hung in there, and God bless Ty. I mean, wow. I mean, what a just battler. And again, I think he really got the business his sophomore year when Tommy Rees brought in his guy, Ty Buckner, and didn't give Ty Simpson a fair chance, I think, to earn the number two spot and possibly have gotten Milroe's spot when they had that South Florida game. So, and he kept his mouth shut. You didn't hear a boo out of him about that. And he didn't transfer. He didn't take them. Because you know he had to have been offered some big money to go elsewhere. Do you think Tennessee was trying to get him last year and 2 years ago, coming from UT, you know, that UT Martin, Tennessee area? You know they were offering. I'm sure other people. Was Lane maybe trying to get him to come? So God bless him for staying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's go into the factors. All right, here we go. As we look at this game, I want to get your takes on these things. So number one is Lenoris versus Ty. Who's got the edge there on Lenoris Sellers versus Ty Simpson?
We've got the shirts. Ty is my guy. Ty is certainly my guy here. I think Lenoris might be a better runner than Ty, even though Ty's very elusive on the scramble to kind of stay alive behind the line of scrimmage. But overall, I would say Ty.
Yeah, Ty Simpson. He's better.
Ty. That's it.
Tysman. The Tysman.
The Tysman.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. Now, can Kane's defense stop or limit Lenoris Sellers in South Carolina? And Lenoris may be, I mean, he's up there in terms of dual threat, certainly in terms of running. He's probably the best one we've faced since Castellanos. Can we do it? I mean, can we limit him?
I think so, man. We're getting better and better every week, I feel like. I mean, I don't like the gashes, but like Gary said, they're getting less and less and not as big. And then I love all the names I'm seeing on the field week after week, you know. Just more names come out every week. Hill Green stands out. We already know Pierre's doing well. We saw Keelan Kelly at the end of that game again. Edric Hill playing. Simmons. I mean, I'm just seeing more and more names.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Games, which means we're built for the long haul here.
I add Red Morgan to that list as well. He had a really
good game. Gary, that kid, early in the year, I don't know what game it was. I remember seeing, he's 16 or 26, 16, right? I think he's 16. But I remember seeing him lay the wood to somebody, and I thought, holy cow, that kid loves to hit too. So if you get him playing with Bray Hubbard, it's a, oh boy.
Yeah, so I think we can contain them. You know, their offensive production statistically is terrible, and that's their challenge. Our defense is starting to gel again. My perception is that there's that risk factor that because they're desperate, they may try some gimmicky, weird plays or whatever, or that Lenoris may just bust some long runs like Pavia last weekend. Goodness, he had a couple of rushes. Lenoris, is he capable of that? Sure, he is. So I think we, you know, in an average game, if we played them 10 times, yeah, we contain them. Is there a risk they could break a few plays and, you know, have a couple of trick plays up their sleeve? Yeah, of course.
I think here's the nice thing. I don't think South Carolina can sustain drives like Tennessee did against us. I think they can bust some chunk plays because of Lenore Sellers. If Nick Harbor's healthy, he's a really good receiver. But I don't think they can move to change like Tennessee does. So I think that's why they're going to have a hard time putting more than 20 points on us, unless Sellers just busts 3 or 4 long runs. Because I just don't see them being able to, say, put 4 drives together and put 28 points on the board. Just my takeaway from what I've seen from South Carolina and what I've read about them. So I'm optimistic, but again, we got to show up, we got to have a good game plan, and we need to play very sound schemes because don't you think they're going to run quarterback draw? Don't you think they're going to run
Oh yeah.
bootleg? They're
Yeah.
going to want run reverses. They're going to try all those nasty tricks. That I would do that shovel pass again. I mean, why not? I would try all sorts of stuff like that just to see what we'll bite on. So I'm expecting that. Okay, how about the Bama O-line versus the South Carolina D-line?
I would say
I'd
draw.
probably draw or a slight edge to South Carolina. That's me.
Yeah, I'm thinking a draw too, guys. I think this is one where they've got one elite player definitely on that D line, Dylan Stewart. He's going to be probably first, second round draft pick. Other than that, I don't think they have the horses they did last year. They had a lot of guys get drafted last year in first 5 rounds, so they lost a lot to the draft. So they're just not, they're dudes, and they didn't replace them. They didn't do well in the portal. And their recruiting class wasn't as strong as some of the other teams like ours was. So we got better dudes. I think we have better talent than they do. And I think, again, we can wear them out.
Would you put their roster, where would you put their roster in sort of the Vandy, Tennessee continuum? Because we've been talking, I think we call Missouri a B plus, and
Yeah.
Tennessee maybe A minus, B plus kind of range. Where would you put South Carolina, John?
I think they're below every team we've played in this stretch. I think they're below Georgia, below Missouri, below Tennessee, and below Vanderbilt, believe it or not.
I give them
I
a B
do.
minus. B
Yeah.
minus.
And I mean, Vanderbilt went up there and showed them what kind of talent they had. Vanderbilt put it to them. They went up there and laid them out. So I just think it's they're just they have D1 athletes, but they don't have a ton of high-level D1 athletes this year. So
Well, Professor Thomason's given a B minus, and he's got that professorial look tonight. He's got the
yeah,
glow. He's got the hoodie on. He looks like he's relaxing with his tenure. Come on,
thank
Professor.
you.
I'm gonna puff up my collar here, baby. There we go.
Thank you. Hey,
Hey,
how about this? Hey, Gary, if I do this,
you can be a pad, what do they call it? Padawan? Be a Padawan.
yeah.
Oh, I like that, Rick. That's a good look, man.
All
Show
right.
Debra that one.
Hey, Deb. Just kidding.
He's got his Eminem look going
Yeah.
on.
Ooh, yeah. Start
Eight
rapping.
mile. I might try this for a couple minutes, see how it works. I don't want to be too much of a distraction for our viewers, though. That's
That's too much eye candy for one screen.
right.
Hey. All right, how about the South Carolina O-line versus the Bama D-line?
Bama.
Bama, baby.
Bama.
I agree. South Carolina running game versus the Bama D.
Ooh, any running game, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe a push, maybe a draw.
I call it a draw.
Yeah, I think it's a draw or maybe slight edge, South Carolina. So how about the South Carolina passing game versus the Bama D?
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, Mamma D all day.
I'm right there with you guys. All right, what's our confidence in getting third down and fourth down stops? Because they're going to have to go for it on fourth down. I think they're going to have to roll the dice. They're going to have to pull out all the stops. What do you think?
That's my confidence meter, John.
It's going
Yes.
up.
Yeah, baby.
It's going up. I like it. I mean, I would like to hold them under 33% in third down conversions and under 20 or 25% or less in fourth down conversions. That's how I would define success. And based on that definition, I think we'll be successful.
I think given that South Carolina's really had problems putting together long drives and sustaining the kind of drives that we can, I mean, our offense can do the 2-minute drill with the best of them, or we can punch out a 6 to 7 minute drive. It's amazing. They can't do that. So I feel good about this, actually. How about the Bama running game versus the South Carolina defense? What do we think on the factor there?
I think until our running game shows me, I'm going to have to go with the South Carolina defense.
I'm afraid I agree with Rick there. I mean, they had held LSU to 20 points. I mean, their rush defense, and I forgot to unpack those rushing versus passing stats, but they're not a bad defense. They're a good defense. And we just don't have an elite running game. I would like to say we do, but we don't.
I'm in agreement, guys. Can't argue with you. How about the Bama passing game versus the South Carolina defense?
That bar.
That's the next question, Gary.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Oh, hold on, Gary.
I think we're going to chew them up and we're licking our chops. I think Ty's going to have a big day. Two or three of the receivers are going to have big days. Do you remember on our first drive when it was third and I believe it was third and 12 and Simpson drops back? And then he moves right, and one of the Tennessee guys busts through the line, and then he slides right, and then he's able to juke the guy. He slides left, and he finds Quavis over the middle. And Quavis just ate it up, and that kept that whole drive alive. We punched in our first touchdown. I mean, to me, that's why Ty's going to win the Heisman. That's just the diversity in our passing game. And I think we're going to feast on them. It's going to be fun. All right, head coaching matchup. Who is the better coach?
Whoa, huh?
From Chicago land with Chicago accents, I'd like to say, Dunbar.
Dunbar. John, Dunbar.
Dunbar. Dunbar, Dunbar, Dunbar. Dunbar.
Your little duck thing.
Dunbar, Dunbar, Dunbar.
We can't quite pull that off.
Dunbar. Dunbar.
Yeah.
He is the greatest coach in the world, Dunbar.
That's why Will Kay's avoiding us. He won't say it like that.
No. That's right. Will Kay's like, this show, man, is off the rails. It's off the rails. Will Kay, hey, I know you're watching, Will Kay.
Shout out to Will Kay.
Okay, guys, I have a question. Okay, serious question. If it's Coach DeBoer, okay, and all the other SEC coaches, they're going to have a fight. Who's going to win? Oh, I know.
Dunbar.
Sorry. Ditka. Remember that? Ditka.
Ditka. Who would win if it was DeBoer and Ditka?
Oh,
Dunbar.
We need to do new rock, paper, scissors where you have like a D instead of like scissors or whatever that trumps everything. Dunbar. Just one. He wins everything.
All right, how about the OC? I don't even know if I need to ask that question.
Mike Shula, psych.
Ryan Grubb. And Grubb. Defensive coordinator, I kind of have a push.
Draw, yeah.
That's Clayton. Who's the guy? Is it who is their DC? Does anybody know?
I don't know, but I'm still going to call it a draw.
I want Kane to prove me wrong.
I want Kane to show me that we don't give up chunk plays of over 30 yards in this game.
Yeah.
I want him to shut me up.
I'll call it a push. I would say slight edge to Bama, though, just because we're improving.
Yeah.
How about special teams?
I don't know much about their special teams.
I know that they had a hurt kicker, and their backup kicker didn't do well, so –
I don't know. Can I say something here? So,
yeah,
I don't know if this is accurate, but I saw something today, speaking of special teams, that said there are only three NFL kickers who in their careers have hit three or more 59-plus yard field goals, and that Will Reichert has hit three of them this season.
Wow.
That's if that's true, I think it is. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, put on a crimson jersey and come back here, man.
We
need you in January.
Right.
There's a Hoover kicker, I think, that hit like against Thompson, hit a 55. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Where's his scholarship?
Right. I think inside the 30-yard line, our special teams are really good.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, on a semi-serious note, let's start a Patton Turnip Seed recruitment. He hit a 52-yarder to win a playoff game for
Absolutely. That was
TA,
awesome. Luke was the
Tuscaloosa
holder.
Academy.
Luke was the holder.
Yeah, we need Patton. Let's start it right here,
Yeah,
baby. Come on,
absolutely.
Patton.
Absolutely. And they had a guy standing under the crossbars waiting to catch the ball, thinking they were going to get a kick six. And you should see on film, you can see the guy going, no, as we hit the game winner, because they were thinking either they're going to return the kick six or we're going to go in overtime.
Wow.
Love it.
It was an amazing game and an amazing season for Luke senior year. That was really fun. All right, guys. I think poison penalties, we've been great the last three or four games. Let's continue that trend. I'm feeling good about us.
Yeah, I like our poise right now. I will say when you've got the distraction of a unique rooster crow blaring through the speakers, that may be a little distracting. So hopefully we can tamp down.
All right. Which team and which coach do you trust to make the in-game adjustments and keep the team in the game or get us back in if we get down?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Save him.
Debor.
Debor.
Ah, bar.
Debor. He has really proven himself, and South Carolina coaches are struggling this year. So they've actually blown games where they've had leads. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling
Yeah.
good. We're battle tested. Guys, I think South Carolina's been in battles, but they haven't proven themselves that they can win in those battles. They played some tough teams, but I like our chances. All right, so y'all want to make predictions here? Let's go ahead.
Go ahead, G Money.
Oh, ladies first, T-Pain. That would be you.
Hey, T-Pain's also a rapper. Remember that song? Out of bottom jeans, boots with the fur. Okay, guys, I'm writing it down. Okay, here's the drama here. Okay, the score. 35-17. I don't know if you can
Ooh,
see
I
it.
like that.
35-17.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna throw a little curveball in here. I'm gonna say we win this game 31-27.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's gonna be
All right,
close.
John. I mean, G Money.
All right, I'm gonna make my prediction. I'm actually going with 31-20.
Okay.
I think we're gonna actually get close to covering the spread or cover the spread. So, all right, guys. Now let's jump into final thoughts on the Tennessee win. Rick, I didn't get to talk to you at all about it. Gary did the instant reaction with me, but wasn't available to do the upon further review. So I want to get your guys, whatever thoughts you want to bring about that Tennessee win. That was huge. So fire away. Go ahead, G Money.
Just a wonderful win, and I'll say the two takeaways I had a bunch of takeaways, but I loved how active Ryan was and some of those grabs that he got. It's almost like you put a little blood in the water and that shark starts kind of getting a little frisky. I think Ryan's going to start getting a little frisky. I don't expect him to drop passes very much anymore. And then, to be a broken record, Yanze Pierre, you are the man. You're developing into a Will Anderson kind of player.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Just so impressed with him. Great team win, though, obviously.
T-Pain,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we've hit on all these things, but I made some notes during the
No,
game.
go through it. I want to get
No,
your
but like,
opinion. Fire
I
away.
just listed, first time I've ever done this in a game. I listed every possession, all the way down, like UT first possession, UA first possession, all the way down. And we have a great offense, but I feel like sometimes we lose our way a little bit. I'm not sure if that's coming from the press box, from the coaches or what, but like our first possession, 90-yard drive, right? Touchdown. Our second possession is a punt. That's a big contrast, right? It's a three and out punt, I think it was. Our third possession, three and out punt. And then so now it's 9-7, pretty close
Right,
game.
we get the safety. We get the safety
Right.
on them.
Yeah, safety, which is huge. And then our next possession, Jan Miller scores on a touchdown. And then on the on the last drive of the half, as Tennessee's driving. We had that James Smith roughing the passer. That's the second time this season he's done that, where it's like, James, come on, man. You don't have to fall on the quarterback. And if you do,
Yeah,
just
he
kind
gave
of,
himself up. He was sliding.
I
Yeah.
know. It's like, dang, man, don't even make it close. And that extended their drive. Would we have stopped him if he hadn't done that? I don't remember the down and distance there, but 15 yards first down doesn't help at all. Of course, and then after the half, I'm still curious. It seems like at halftime, Ryan Grubb goes in halftime and says, "You know what? I know it works, and we're not doing it first drive when we come out. We're gonna do something different." And so he comes out and he runs the ball twice. I think loses yards on the first down, second down. Like, why? I mean, even Greg McElroy, someone said, "Hey, why take the ball out of Ty's hand when he's so effective? Why do that?" So I don't know. Those are the things that hit me. And then that Ty fumble. I forgot that. On the sixth possession, he fumbled. How did he fumble? I've forgotten already.
He was trying to pass the ball
That's
and they
right.
got a
That's right.
hand on it and they ruled that they knocked the ball out before he went forward with it.
Right. Very questionable
And
call. But
yeah,
live, it sure looked like a forward pass. I mean, his
I
arm was.
thought, yeah, I didn't get that at
Oh, yeah.
all.
I think he hit Proctor's shoulder or something. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, things like that. I mean, again, I thought Pierre was great again, and Ryan Williams, as y'all said. I mean, like, where did that come from? I mean, my gosh, he's catching hard balls. It wasn't like they're easy balls. That was great. And then, and we finished him out there. But yeah, that's really all I have. I mean, I just want to see more consistency from the offense and from the OC. And I'm nitpicking. I understand that I'm nitpicking, but man, y'all, I mean, if that pick six had not happened, we're probably in a fourth quarter game,
Oh yeah, it's 30-27. The score's 30-27, and it's anybody's ball game. That
Right.
was huge buffer for us to go in the half, and it gave us a lot of room. It gave us a lot of margin coming out of the second half, but I love the fact that we put 14 points on the board in the second half to put them away. That was big because remember Georgia, how did we win that game and not score in the second half? I can't believe that we beat Georgia and didn't score a single point in the second half.
Right,
I was
right.
shocked.
And maybe I'm asking too much here, but I would love to see our offense just be more consistent. What I mean is, it's one thing to have a 90-yard drive and then the next possession's a three and out. I'm like, oh, how does that work? I mean, if you can do it for 15 plays in a row, then all of a sudden you can't do it. What happened? So I just wish I could see more consistency and not have any series off.
Well, sometimes Tennessee, I mean, they've got some really good defenders. They made plays. I mean,
Yeah, that's true.
sometimes it was just that simple. And like the fumble drive, Ty had two passes batted down in the same
That's right.
series
That's right.
that set up, him being in a really negative situation there when he tried to make the pass and fumble the ball. You got to
Right.
give the opponent credit. Now, if we went
Right.
90 yards and then three and out against La Monroe, okay. But I mean, Tennessee's got some plays. They made some great plays.
Yeah, you're right. All it takes is one negative play. If they sack you or something, you're probably in a hole there. I did notice again, I was reminded how valuable it was to have J.K. Scott when I saw their punter putting us on the 1 yard line a couple
Oh,
times.
gosh.
We don't have that weapon.
No, we
Nope.
don't. Our
So.
punter's is mid, right? I would say he's
Right.
mid, and maybe that's being nice. Maybe he's not even mid. So
We
that
might
was
need a
disappointing.
special fund of NIL money just for special teams.
Yeah.
How great was it when they pinned us on the 1 yard line that we go down 99 yard drive and punch it in the end zone? I mean, that was an amazing, amazing drive. That was 9 plays, 99 yards, 5 minutes and 26 seconds off the clock. And here are, let's see, these are 6 key plays on the drive, which I think is worth noting. So we did a 14-yard pass to Ryan Williams, first down, 15-yard pass to Quavis, first down, 18-yard run by Germ, first down. I think that's that one where he spun and he did all that crazy stuff. And 16-yard pass to Daniel Hill, first down, 17-yard pass to Germ, first down, and then 11-yard pass to Rico Scott, where he goes through two defenders to get to the end zone. I love that fight in him that he got it in the end zone on that play.
Well, I mean,
And
we have so many receivers then when Rico's number gets called, you got to make the most of every touch. And I think our offensive weapons all have that mentality. They're like, it's an open competition. When I get, the ball, I've got to make a move. I've got to give 100% effort. And you can see that. You saw it with Daniel Hill's rushes. You saw it with Rico's effort there to break through a couple of defenders. It's awesome, man. It's good. It's a cultural thing.
it is. And sadly, Gary, too, I mean, they're thinking, hey, I don't touch the ball very often. When I do, I'm going to make the best of it because maybe next year I can get more money somewhere else. I hope they're not thinking that, but I could easily see guys thinking that these days. I got to make a splash so I can get more money somewhere
I
else.
thought you were doing a Dos Equis ad there.
That's
I don't play football often, but when I do, I sure
right.
got
When
that
I
going.
do, baby. When I
Well, and I
do.
mean,
Yeah,
it's such a good wide receiver room. You've got to stand out when you're out there to get more playing time. And Rico's earned more playing time now.
and Brooks, y'all, I think I know we talked about lots of different people, but Brooks is ready right now, man. He's good. He's ready for the NFL now. He's good.
He is. He's Jaylen Waddle. He is.
Yeah.
He is Jaylen Waddle. He's got all the same skills as Waddle and amazing. I love it. But the really nice thing is we're not one receiver dependent. We're not even two receivers dependent. We've got five, six guys that can all bring it.
Yeah, and
I
don't
don't want to put the
forget.
brakes. I don't want to put the brakes. He's not Jalen Waddle yet.
Right,
Waddle,
right.
I mean, is in Mojo Rousseau.
I feel like he's already showed out, but he can do it. I love it.
I mean, I'm
Hey,
a
another
huge
thing,
fan of
guys,
Brooks, but woo, it's a big
is
comparison.
that on the sideline you have a guy named Cole Adams who contributed a lot 2 years ago,
Right?
and Jalen Hill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're deep. We are deep.
Well, and the sad thing is we'll probably lose a couple of those guys to the NIL, into the portal, which, because they're not all going to want to sit on the bench. And, Germ's gone, Zay Horton's gone, but the rest of them are all back. So
Yeah.
I think
We
that's
gotta
the
keep Ryan,
reality.
man. We gotta keep Ryan.
We're
And
going to
that hey, and
keep
that
him.
Derek, hey, and the Derek Meadows kid, I mean, before he had that concussion, that was a great catch, man. I mean, wow. Last week, 2 weeks ago.
Amazing. I hope he's okay and I hope he's
Me
ready to
too.
go. Hopefully he's through the concussion protocol. We're praying for you. We want a quick recovery. Do you think Jam was maybe a little dinged up?
I do. I don't know if it's a combination of him not being 100% or and Daniel Hill coming in toward the end of the game when their defense was tired, but Daniel Hill looked better that day.
That
Yeah,
was the
he
Daniel Hill I predicted that was going to get 1,000 yards. You remember
Yeah,
that,
I do remember. Tennessee
I
does have
missed
some
that
depth.
one.
Tennessee has some depth on that front four, but I think that's an insightful comment, Rick, is that you gotta look at context. He came in late. Tennessee was tired. We needed to chew some clock, and he did a great job. His legs never stopped moving. And he's so strong. And I think, John, that probably informed your prediction in preseason. And again, it's not too late for him to still have a tremendous contribution over the second half of the season.
Well,
Right.
and he showed out in the Missouri game catching that 1 yard touchdown pass that was not an easy catch. It was
And
not an
high
easy
pointed it,
throw.
man. That was
Yeah, he
awesome.
did. He showed out and Ty laid that ball up and over the guy and went and got it.
I
So
mean,
love it.
y'all, before the season, I would have not believed you if you told me Richard Young would not hardly ever play. I mean, I thought he would be the number two guy for sure. And he doesn't. Richard Young does not see the field.
He
well,
doesn't.
Who have we not seen in the last few weeks? A.K. Deer, is he hurt?
I don't know.
And Dre Washington, we hadn't seen him. I mean, those guys are riding the pine.
Yeah.
All right, guys, real quick, Heisman odds. I just was going to jump to that. Looks like Ty's Fernando Mendoza's got the best odds to win it right now. Ty's in second place. Julian Sayin, who was at Alabama for a cup of coffee, he's in number three spot right now at Ohio State. And Marcel Reed, NBA graduate, Nashville, Tennessee, Texas A&M quarterback, he's in the number four spot right now. And Diego Pavia is in the number five spot. I think if Diego Pavia keeps winning these big games like he did in LSU, he's going to end up in the top three. I expect Diego to be in New York. I expect Ty Simpson to be in New York. I expect Fernando Mendoza to be in New York. And I think Julian Sand's going to be in New York because Ohio State's got a cupcake of a schedule and they're going to keep rolling. So it's going to be interesting to see what Gunner does, what Marcel Reed does, what Dante Moore, but those are the guys that are competing for the Heisman. And I love Ty's chances.
It's not, of course, you can't say it's fair or not fair because it is what it is. But if you look at who Indiana faces, in the, I mean, it's
a
just
joke.
Like Ty can have 400 or 500 yards a game, you know, if we face those kind of opponents. So I really hate that for him. I still think Ty's going to win it though.
If we go 11-1 and go to the SEC championship, I think it's going to be hard not to give it to him. Because, I mean, you can argue who on Alabama has shown out consistently game in and game out and carried this team other than Ty. We've gotten a lot of contributions, but nobody else has stood out. Like you had Mac Jones and Devontae Smith, and you had Harris? No, you had running back.
No. Yeah, Najee
Harris. I mean, you had three guys that were in contention for the Heisman that year because we were so loaded, right? You had Waddle, you had Mechie. That team was loaded, and we've got a lot of talent, but no one is shining through over anyone else other than Ty. I mean, on the whole team.
Caden Proctor,
yeah. Crispy.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for him to throw like a 30-yard pass or something.
I know. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, I bet it is.
He's going to throw.
But, you know, if you said who on that, you know, because Julian Sands got a loaded, ridiculous receiver room. I mean, even probably better than Ohio State's. And that defense is unbelievable. He doesn't have to score but 14 points. What are they giving up, 6 points a game? Ohio State's ridiculous defense. And they don't play anybody. I mean, let's face it, the middle – part of the Big Ten to the lower part of the Big Ten is terrible. I mean, we smoked Wisconsin. We killed them.
I would love to see Indiana go play Missouri at Missouri. I would love that.
I would too.
You know, they just don't have, you know, they got like two opponents that are worth a flip, like you're saying, John. It's really just not fair, but I mean, saying things are not fair, that doesn't get you anywhere. But
no, it doesn't. It doesn't. So, anyway, I like, I mean, Ty is in the mix and He's on that All-American trajectory. He's on the All-SEC trajectory. Having a great season. Just love it, love it, love it. All right, how about parting shots, guys? All right, G-Money, give me your parting shots for South Carolina, Tennessee, anything you want to throw out there.
I think that my parting shot is I think we win this Saturday. I've called it a trap game. I've called it dangerous. I think there will be times in the first half of the game at South Carolina, possibly into the third quarter, where we're losing and we're kind of feeling a little anxiety or whatever, and I think Ty's going to bring us through, quite frankly, like Milroe did last year, even though that was a much uglier game than I expect this Saturday.
All right, T-Pain,
my parting shot is I like this game for us. I do understand y'all's concern. You're concerned about it being a trap game, but I just think this game, you know, we have an A roster of talent. They have a B-minus roster of talent. We are highly motivated because we know it's ahead of us. We have a great leadership from the coaches down to the quarterback. I think this game is at halftime. I think it's 21-7 at halftime, and then ends up, like I said, 35-17.
I like it, guys. I like it. I like it a lot. And my parting shot is DeBoer, 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 DeBoer. So I want us to go in there, and this is what I really want to see. I want to see that consistency that we can keep the pedal to the metal, keep the focus, get to the bye week with another win, go into the bye week 7-1 with 4 games left. That's what I want to see, is that we've got that championship medal to figure out a way to win every week. And that's what I'm excited to see, is we go in there and figure out a way to win. However we do it, we win by 1 point, we win by 15, get the W, get out of there, and keep going.
I agree. Let's do it. Roll Tide.
All right. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, follow, like, hit the notify button wherever you access the podcast. God bless, and roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.